It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Yep, you just heard the low-key Bob Ufer. We didn't think you were ready for the high-end stuff. You heard the Bo Semperler scoring horn there about, I think, 10 times. But next week I'll bring back Harlan Huckleby when he got the Bo Semperler. All right, Jason Wilde and John Anderson, I will not talk for the next 7 minutes. Take it away, 7.5.
Wilde, what if we just kill him with silence? How long you think he'd take it before he'd chime in?
First of all, there's no way, no matter what happens, he's going to wait a whole 7 minutes. I've already started the clock. secondly, what was that? That was Bob Uecker calling football?
Excuse me, Bob Ufer, the voice of Michigan.
Oh, Ufer.
Football. Ufer, the greatest homer in the history of sports.
Oh, well, I thought you said Bob Uecker. Then I was much more interested than I am in Bob Ufer. So, let's talk about something else.
Bob Berry's
very confused.
Well, we've got to get to Dobbs, but I think we should talk about, hey, the Packers won a football game. How'd they come out of that? What do we get the first vibes from them coming back? The defense got a stop when they needed it, finally, even though they, took it down a one-score game again. Kicker didn't miss. Like, there were a lot of positives out of that, even though it was just the Rams.
There were, and I thought, the fact that Jordan Love channeled his inner Brett Favre a couple more times. First of all, I understand the end result was great, and LaFleur had a great quote when I asked him about it, about how it was one of those where it's no, 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 yes on that deep ball to Reed. Like, it's in triple coverage. Like, that is a Farvian deep chuck if I've ever seen one. And the good news is for the Packers that Jaden Reed went up and got it. And Reed said that when he was in college, and I don't know if he meant it at Michigan State or the first year that he was at Western Michigan, but they had a play that it was F it, throw it to Jaden. And that's kind of what Jordan Love did there, right? And so, that play, and then obviously we can all agree that the pick six that he threw as he was stumbling, bumbling, tumbling out of the end zone was Favre-esque. I think that's really interesting because, A, he did not then spiral and, throw six interceptions in a game and three of them returned for touchdowns like Favre did in that playoff game in St. Louis. He completed his next nine passes. He did what he was supposed to do. He took what the defense gave him, and what it gave him were two touchdowns by Tucker Kraft and nine straight completions. And so, I thought that the biggest thing that I took out of it, in addition to all the other things you mentioned, which are all valid, is that Jordan Love was Brett Favre-ish, and then he snapped out of it, and he took another step toward getting back to being himself after the time he missed in those two games.
The throw that really troubled me, in addition to the one you talked about with the pick six, is the last one he threw. Like, you got to hit Wicks. He had two steps on that guy. You can't hit him, turn around, and come back. Like, how do you – that you got to make that pass. Got to complete that one. That's a gimme.
Yeah, and look, I thought there were several of those during the course of the game, right? There's one – I think it's Reed – running an outbreaking route, the camera angle from the back of the end zone. Love is looking to his left, and Reed has separated from his defender. He's running toward the sideline, and Love almost throws it into the Rams bench. Like, it was a really inaccurate throw. And again, I think that this is a function of missing practice, missing games. Mm-hmm. And then, as a result, you're missing throws. And so, do I think he's regressed? No, I don't. Do I think he's still not quite back up to speed? Yes. Do I think his decision making needs to be better? Absolutely. But I'm not down on him at all. But I mean, the guy's completed 56.1% of his passes. Like, that's kind of the stuff we were talking about early last season. When he couldn't seem to get things going, and they were 2-5 and 3-6 before he finally got things going.
So Homer's convinced that Xavier McKinney could have saved Barry's job as defensive coordinator if he'd had him.
I have not said that, but I agree with that. Yes. Yes. You're right. That's so, I do believe that. Yes.
So, and it's the one bad thing about watching the game on TV, because you only get the cut that you see. And when the game I was able to see in person, to watch McKinney, who is terrific, not just the interception, but he seems to have a real feel for where everybody should be, right? He does a lot of work pre-snap. Did they have an idea? Like, I know what you want him to be when he comes in, but did they think he was like, this is really spectacular stuff? Like, here's all of a sudden, like, that dude deserves a race, and he gets a lot of money already.
Yeah, no, he's and let's be honest, too, the contract he got, 4 years, $67 million, but if you look at the way they structured it, if he had not worked out, they could have gotten out of it very quickly. I mean, maybe not even 2 years into it. That obviously is not the issue now. But if you look at what he did with the Giants, like, he had three interceptions all of last season, and he played and started all 17 games. Like, do I think Joe Barry's defense would have been a meaningful amount better had it had Xavier McKinney and pick your corner or pick your rookie or pick your holdover from last year's safety group? Jonathan Owens, Rudy Ford, Anthony Johnson Jr., or Darnell Savage to pair with him? Yeah, I think so. But I do think that McKinney has been a perfect fit for what Jeff Hafley wants to do defensively, and he has taken that system and run with it. Remember, one of the first things we learned about Jeff Hafley before they even signed Xavier McKinney was how vital the post safety was to what he wanted to do defensively. And for him, you know, he described this kind of utopian safety that did all these different things. And then they went and signed a guy who's turned out to be just that, right? Not only does he have five interceptions, but he does fill against the run. He does get everybody lined up. He does communicate well. He is a leader in their locker room, which certainly needed that in the back end after, you know, Jair went, you know, and appointed himself captain and everything else last year. So he's been everything and more they could have asked for. But as good as he's been, I will not go so far as to say that he could have saved a bad system with his talent alone.
Excuse me, sir. They finished 10th in the – they finished 10th in the NFL last year in points given up, and he lost the job because they had no turnovers. Had they created more turnovers, which they certainly would, and they would have given up fewer points, he would still be the coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. Back to you.
It didn't make 7 minutes.
No, not quite. We were in there. Where are we on O number 87? How are we doing with Dobbs?
Can't wait to talk to him tomorrow. I certainly hope he speaks. But, you know, I was admittedly frustrated when Matt LaFleur, the first couple of questions out of the box, which were all asked by me, which is not the usual MO that I have, was, you know, we're going to keep that private. We're moving on, et cetera. But then I happened to hit on the one angle that got him to really talk about it. And that was the fact that 2 weeks earlier, I had asked him a question about, you know, they had the job sharing arrangement at, right guard, and they have the job sharing arrangement at corner with Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine, and they're rotating all these defensive linemen and all these wide receivers, and he was great talking about how, you know, sure there are guys that want to play even more than they do, but the idea of incorporating these other guys and giving them something to compete for and something to strive for, that they're not just, okay, I'm going to be a gunner on special teams and that's all I'm going to do on game day. You know, I said this to Chewy this morning. Like, when he was playing, Terry Mickens as the fourth receiver was not getting 20 snaps a game. Like, they played their guys back then. And this was different. And I thought, this is great. It's not middle school basketball where everybody plays, but it is at least keeping guys invested. And I thought, what a smart thing to do. And then a week later, we have the Romeo Doubs incident. And so I brought it up to him yesterday, and that was what really got him going. I'm sure Pebbles cut up the audio at some point, that basically he goes through the whole thing about how, you know, I want guys to hit all their numbers and accomplish what they want to do individually, but it's got to be within the team concept, et cetera. And to me, that's what's remarkable about this is that, you know, it was actually working really well. And as we've discussed ad nauseum, you know, we talked about it on Green Bay game day, like logically it never made any sense that he would be this unhappy given how small the disparity had been between his opportunities and other guys. So I'm looking forward to him explaining himself. I don't know if he will, but I just, that's number one in the short term. And then in the long term, I'm super curious as to whether or not this truly makes them a lot less inclined to bring him back. Like if he has cast enough doubt in Goody's mind that this is a guy that you then want to pay, not top dollar, certainly, because he's not a top dollar player, but the kind of money that he's the guy that you want on the team and you're willing to pay him to keep him, I have to think that this will give them pause as they go through that thought process.
When you two finish, I do have a question for both of you to answer.
It'll be an interesting dynamic when he comes back, hear what he has to say, if anything, and see what kind of repair job has to be done there for sure. The last thing I have on my list here is, did Aaron Rodgers just get a coach fired in New York?
Sure looks like it, doesn't it? I mean,
I don't know if it's him. I'm just going to say when you take the game and the team out of the coach's hands and just turn it over to a player, whoever it happens to be, in this case it was Aaron, like you're just begging for trouble. And I feel like that's exactly what happened over there. They signed over so much of that, Saleh did, to Rodgers that, you know, see ya, and out he goes. Even though they get along wonderful, really good friends.
That's what we've been told anyway. You know, look, I think it was the beginning of the end with the Egyptian trip, right? Walk like an Egyptian all over your coach. Like it was, I'm convinced that Robert Saleh tried to say, I'm not going to let this guy push me around anymore. And I'm not going to make excuses for him. I'm not going to say that this was an excused absence. I'm going to puff out my chest publicly and say, I'm not going to be told what to do by a guy that's, I'm the coach, he's the player, not the other way around. And it would appear, and again, I don't know I'm just talking about from the outside perspective that I have, it would appear that Woody Johnson, who is known for really loving stars, would have certainly sided with the quarterback here. Like that whole, I'm sorry, that whole weird like hug, pushing him away from him thing, all the other kind of the way he was calling for the play from Hackett on the sideline during, you know, getting more and more demonstrative and angry. Like he just looks miserable, and he feels to me like a guy that is not fun to have working for you and is having a very difficult time with the structure there. And he may think he knows better. And I say at this point, now that you fired Saleh, I say go all in on him. Go get him Devontae Adams. Let him call all the offensive plays on the field. Like, do it. Hey, it's all you. You know, we got 12 games left. Let's see what you can do. You've always wanted to be in charge of the king of everything. In fact, Ulbrich's still going to call the plays defensively, and we named him as the interim coach because we're required to do that. But the truth is, you're the player coach. You're like Pete Rose, but you're not betting on the games.
I just think it's funny that the one guy threw picks and the other three picks and the other guy got fired.
Yeah. Oh, and
they were
bad picks.
Yeah. Bad picks. All of them, right? Not seeing the linebacker. He never does that. Overthrew Lazard, whoever it was, by 9 yards. And so very curious. Homer, what were you saying? You had questions
We need a break. If I'm Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh is available, I fire Jeff Hafley at the end of this year and I bring in LaFleur. And I bring in Saleh. I know that Matt LaFleur would never do it, but what do you think of if he's available as a defensive coordinator, he should be the Packer defensive coordinator next season? Yes, sir? Either of you?
No, I'm good. I want to see more from Hafley before I do that.
Yeah, at least 12 more games.
Do you think it's possible that Hafley's as good as Saleh as a defensive coordinator? I say not a chance.
I'm not willing to say that either.
All right.
No, yeah, I think we got to give him a little. We got to give him a little more. Like I was, if by the
about
way,
how
if they
Homer
had
operates.
Right now, I'm willing
no,
to give him some
it's
time.
How good this guy is. He's horrible as a head coach. You've watched the Jets defense.
I will give you this. There is undeniably a subset of coaches that always advance one level higher than they should. And whether it's a great position coach who becomes a bad coordinator or a great coordinator who becomes a head coach and is a bad head coach, I would agree that he is really, really good when it comes to defense. And if I would not be against that idea, but I would like more evidence to make my decision on, and I'd like to have the rest of the season.
Well, no, I'm giving him the rest of the season. It doesn't matter what he does. I'm replacing him after this year.
Yeah. Right? No, but you're not. But you didn't give me the rest of the season to answer the question.
Oh, that's true. No, I don't. It's over. They can win a Super Bowl. It's this simple. They can win a Super Bowl with Robert Saleh as the defensive coordinator. I have no idea, and I would bet against it with Jeff Hafley.
As long as he's got Xavier McKinney, apparently, that's all that really matters.
That's it. Dead man walking.
7.5. I'm assuming you're in Jason Wilde's camp on this one, right?
Outside of kickers, I'll let everybody have more than five games.
Yeah. All right. We've set a record for being late. Next. Thanks, Jason.